Good to see you. You know what I was thinking, Brother Zach? How many hats do you wear? I think you were like over here, down there, up there, over there. Did you play the piano too? Wow. He's got too many hats, huh? Man, what a joy to be in the Lord's house. Amen? Man, aren't you glad to be alive today and you were able to get out. I say this every time, but you were able to get out of bed today and come and worship the Lord. And what a joy that is. I don't know if my tie's straight. David kind of pulled it and sucked on it and wet it. And that's good. I enjoy that. That's a blessing. That's a blessing. Isn't he just a beautiful little guy? Huh? I mean, he's just gorgeous. And Zach, you know, I mean, now you've had three, you needed some help along the line, right? You needed a helper and so that'll be good. That's just great. But you know, what an honor to dedicate him to the Lord today. And if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, remember this, you dedicated yourself to the Lord. We belong to him. And, you know, it's a beautiful thing to be able to serve our King and to love him. And so thank you for just encouraging Zach and Lisa as they shepherd you. God has given you a wonderful shepherd. And he loves Jesus. He loves the Word. And they sure do love you guys. And so what a joy it is to be a part of this ministry. You know, we feel like every time we come back here, it's like coming back home again. It's just a beautiful thing. We've built a wonderful relationship with you folks. And it's a joy to be here. Thank you for your prayers for our family. We just got back a couple weeks ago from leading a missions team to Welch, West Virginia. That's the southernmost part of West Virginia. It's you can't go any more far south than that in West Virginia. And what a joy of time we had there. What an amazing time ministry. Our team replaced a porch on a lady's trailer that literally, you go down roads that are supposed to be two lane, but they're only one. And big coal trucks come flying down. And as the missionary, we were in processing with her and her husband. They said, now, folks, when you go up that road, if a coal truck hits you, just stay there. Just let them hit you and just move off to the side. Don't try and go. And I said, whoa, wait a minute. What if they hit us? And she said, yeah, it happens all the time. You just got to be careful going through. And I'm thinking, oh, my Lord, how are we going to get through there? But praise God, we had no incidents like that. But I will tell you, when you have a fully loaded coal truck that is coming around a corner that you can't see around because it's one of these types of deals, and his trailer is already in your lane, you have to act quick on that, don't you? But praise God, God didn't allow any of that type of thing to happen. But what a joy it was. And we went way up into this mountain and back to a lady whose home had burnt down a couple years ago. And she now lives in a trailer up in that mountain. I don't know how they got that trailer up in that mountain. I really don't. But the front porch on her trailer was falling apart. There was no footers in the ground. It was just sitting on the ground. I mean, it was just a mess. And so our team ripped that whole thing off, and we rebuilt her a really nice porch to be on there. And what a blessing it was to serve her and her special needs son and be a blessing to them. And then we also worked at Living Waters Rehab, which is a rehab for women who are coming off of addiction, trying to get their lives back on track. And we did a lot of projects there that need to be done. Then we also did a community outreach in Welch, and we were praying for God to give us 200 Bibles to take down there. And God gave us 360 Bibles to take down there. And so and here's the thing, those folks, it's so funny to me. You know, I've always used the King James. That's what I use. But a lot of people, you know, don't. And so, you know, I just wherever people are, they have different preferences and that sort of thing. And their request was super giant print King James Bibles. And so that's what we got. We got super, not giant print. super giant print, okay? So, you know, that family Bible, that thing's like this thick and about this big. No, it's not. But they can read it. And so I can't tell you how many people, and Kathy and I took them down there, and the team took them down there, and we had to go get a prescription at the drugstore right at where we were doing this outreach. We had to get, Frankie needed some medicine, and so we went in over there, and right on the counter in the drugstore right in town was a Bible that had a little post-it note on it that said free. And I thought, man, that's interesting. And so I asked the lady, I said, do you guys give these out? And she said, well, sure, if you need one. And she said, but that's our last one. If you need it, take it. And I thought, that's interesting. She works behind the counter, and she's like a little evangelist back there. She's got the Bibles on there. The pharmacist is sitting over there filling prescriptions. He's like, yeah, if you need one, sir, take one. And I thought, this is like a drugstore, Bible store, you know. And so I said to him, I said, well, let me ask you, can you use some Bibles? And they said, yeah, that's our last one. I said, well, we're going to bring you a case of super giant print Bibles, and you can have it. We brought them in the next day, and it was like revival took place in that little drugstore. I'm telling you, it was the most amazing thing that I've ever seen in my life. We went in there and took this case of Bibles, and they opened up. The pharmacist literally is filling stuff, and we hand him one. He says, I can actually read this. And I'm thinking, you're filling prescriptions. Right? Like these, I'm glad like little thought bubbles don't come out of our head. Right? Like, I hope they got the right medicine. But he was so excited that he could actually read this Bible. And so as we're laying them up on the counter and people are coming in to get their meds, this little lady right behind the counter is like, hey, honey, do you need a Bible? It's a super giant print. Yeah, I need a Bible. And she just starts handing them out right there in the store. Now, here's another amazing thing that happened when we were down there. During our outreach, a principal from a local public school, came and said, I know you got kids' Bibles. She said, I need 4 cases of kids' Bibles. And I said, well, absolutely, we'll load you up. How do you use them? She said, when kids come into my office, I have one sitting right on my desk. And she said to me, and I asked them, hey, do you want to read that Bible? And the kids look at it and say, yeah, because it's called a life action Bible. It's written like a comic book, but in story format of the whole Bible. Okay, so kids are very like, I like this. It's got pictures. I can see things. I can read this. It reads like a comic book in a sense. And so these kids come and they pick them up, and then guess what happens? Those kids go into the school, and they're like, and other kids are like, hey, where'd you get that Bible? Oh, down at the principal's office. And then she will give out all 4 cases of those Bibles in her school. Imagine that. This is right here in America. And so, you know, it was just, I thank you for your prayers. We had an incredible outreach. It was just it was just phenomenal. It really, really was. We gave out all 360 Bibles. We didn't have any left over. And so thank you for your prayers for that. Thank you for praying for Alicia. Man, she is finishing up her internship today. She comes home tomorrow. Yeah, we're really excited to get her back home. But I will tell you something, your encouragement and your love to her, your notes of encouragement, your words of encouragement, just checking in on her, that has meant so much. You know, she has learned so much serving God in the place where she was. And, you know, through that, she saw the need that there were a lot of times where people were shot or stabbed or things, and they came on the scene, and she didn't have the training to know what to do until the ambulance got there. And so she said, Dad, I really feel I need to get some EMT training so that I know what to do in situations like this. And so she has already enrolled in Shippensburg at the EMT school. She'll come home. She'll start that in the beginning of the year to get her EMT schooling under her so that she can be trained in situations like that as well. So she's excited to get back home, but she's so thankful for the opportunity to serve God there. and the things that she has learned about serving folks on the streets in very desperate, desperate situations. God has been so good to her, and your encouragement was very, very special. So thank you. Just want to give you a little update there. And by the way, if you're interested in Kentucky, you do need to come to that meeting. We're going to talk about it today. And man, there's just so much neat stuff to share there. Well, let me ask you a question. Have you ever thought about the fact, because you know how it is when we come through the church doors, there's a magical transformation that happens right when you walk in that back door. Whatever argument you had in the car, whatever thing you were dealing with, whatever situation, you didn't like your wife's dress, she knew it, you didn't tell her, she asked you to be honest, you lied to her about it, right? Guys, you know what I mean? Like, guys, are we in a no-win situation? When our wives say, hey, how do I look in this? What are you supposed to say? Right? So whatever happens, and you come in that back door, and you meet the greeters, and they're like, hey, how you doing? Oh, we're doing great. Doing great. But have you ever thought about the fact that when you come to church together, that you're sitting next to somebody, maybe they're in front of you, maybe they're next to you, maybe they're behind you, that's been beat up by the devil all week long? All week long. There are people facing some serious battles, addictions, fear, anxiety, panic attacks, wayward children, pride, lust, bondage, unforgiveness, spiritual pride, family dysfunction, broken marriages, discouragement, life-threatening illnesses. These are real battles that many are going through. Last night, I am a chaplain for our police department in Chambersburg. And never usually get called into something easy. Last night, I just sat down to re-go over the message for this morning. I was just getting ready to start studying through it again, and my phone rang, and it is the desk. And they told me on the phone that you're requested at the scene of a death. That's all I get. So I have no idea. I don't know what I'm going to walk into. And so here's what I walked into last night. Mom, probably 65, I think they said she was. They had left her in the morning. She was sitting in her recliner. Everything was fine. Came home at the end of the day. Dad and the daughter went off. Daughter's in her 30s, late 30s, early 40s. Just kind of two girls in that situation. She was spending time with her dad. They went off to do something. They came home, had her son with them, who's 9 years old, coming in to just say hi to Grandma, and Grandma died. And they don't know what to do. They never had ever talked about death, ever. Now, we don't need to talk about that. We don't need to worry about that. We don't. And now they're left with. And so my job as the chaplain is to walk into that situation and provide comfort to a family in crisis. And I will never forget, as I sat down on the couch and I sat next to that 9-year-old boy who's looking at me, and he's looking at his grandma, and he's looking at me, and he's looking at his grandma, and I'm trying to get his attention and get him away. And after talking with them and just kind of opening up, he looks up at me with these beautiful brown eyes. And he says to me, can you please hug me? Real crises, real trials. So what's the solution? What is the solution when we have been pounded by the devil all week long, when the enemy tries to get a foothold into our life, whether it's through our health or our family or our job or our marriage or wherever? What is the solution in all of that? And so this morning, what I want to do is I want to encourage us this morning. I want to encourage us, not just you. I need encourage from the Lord this morning. Amen? And so let's go to the book of Joshua, and let's just dive in right here, all right? Joshua chapter 1, and I want to read verses 1 to 9, And then that's what we're going to kind of jump into here this morning. And we might go another place into the scriptures, but primarily we're going to just stick right here and say, God, what do you want for us today? What do you want to teach us today? What do you need to remind me of today? And so just kind of follow along as I read chapter 1, verses 1 to 9. All right. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. Notice verse 3. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. Just kind of remember that. There shall not be any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail you nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shall thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Turn not from it to the right hand nor to the left, that thou mayest prosper wheresoever thou goest. For the book of this law shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prospers, and then shalt thou have good success. Notice verse 9. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee wherever thou goest. Let's pray. Father, this morning, as we've just opened up your word, Lord, remind us this morning about your power, about your presence, about your plan for our lives. And Father, that you have called us in these very sticky situations that sometimes we are surrounded with, whether it's in our family or in our marriage or in our work or with our health. Father, some challenging situations, Lord, that we need your encouragement on today. And I pray for that family last night. God, I pray for them today. I know they didn't sleep last night. I know they have a lot of decisions to make. And so, God, I pray for your peace to surround them. Teach us this morning, Lord. Teach us this morning from your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, what an incredible passage of scripture that we just shared together. The phrases that are repeated in the passage, there are three of them that are repeated in the passage that we just read. And these phrases are a word of God for you and me today. Look at them again. If you're an underliner in your Bible, underline these. Notice verse 6, be strong and of good courage. Verse 7, be strong and of very courageous. Verse 9, be strong and of good courage. And by the way, if you were to read it till the end of the chapter in verse 18, you will find it again. Be strong and of good courage. Obviously, the theme that God wants Joshua to get is incredibly important. And the message of God to his servant Joshua was this: Joshua, no matter what you will face, no matter what battle that you will fight, land that you will conquer, people that you will lead, remember this, be strong and courageous. And I want to say to you and to me again this morning, whatever battle, whatever trial you are faced with, whatever situation that is very sticky and uncomfortable, the resounding message for you and for me today is be strong and very courageous. Isn't it comforting to know that in your situation, whatever it is, the message of God for you today is be strong and courageous. Whatever it is, just be strong and courageous. Now, there's I'm kind of a simple guy, and so I just want to ask four questions from this passage, just four simple things, right, to kind of help us hone in on what God is saying. Number one is this: who's in charge? Who is in charge? Notice verse 1 of Joshua chapter 1 again. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying. Now, Moses had died, and a new leader of Israel is Joshua. And the Bible says that the Lord spoke unto Joshua. Now, if you're a circler or an underliner, this is a great word to circle in your Bible, the name Lord. It's a very unique name. And you'll see it twice in verse 1. Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Now, there are other places in the Bible where God does not choose by divine inspiration to use that name. But right here, he uses this name to reveal himself to Joshua. And whenever you see the word Lord in your Bible in all capital letters, it is the Hebrew word Jehovah. Jehovah. Now, we would pronounce that Jehovah. That's how we would pronounce that. But the name is incredibly special. And this is what I want you to get. The name actually means the self-existent eternal one. The self-existent eternal one. And remember, the Bible says that God is God alone. There are no other gods. Now, just hold your hand there, and let's just go see how God uses that name again somewhere else, okay? So go to Isaiah. Go to Isaiah, and we're going to look at chapter 45. I'm just going to show you two verses. Isaiah chapter 45. And verse 5 and 6, I just want you to see where God uses this name again and where he actually gives the definition of his name. Okay? He gives a definition of his name. Okay? So notice Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 5 and 6. I am the what? Lord. Remember, it's all cap, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. And here it is. Here's the meaning. And there is none else. So here it is. I am the self-existent eternal one, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun from the west that there is none beside me. I am the self-existent. Existent, eternal one, and there is none else. There is no other God. Oh yeah, people worship all kinds of things, don't they? But God is God alone, and he alone deserves our worship. There was none before him, there'll be none after him. He always was, he always will be. And this is the very name that God uses to reveal himself to Joshua. It's kind of amazing. Joshua knew exactly who was in charge. It was not Joshua. Oh, he was a leader. But who was in charge? God, the eternal, self-existent one, the Lord, Jehovah, was in charge. And as a leader, he would receive his marching orders from no others, no substitutes allowed. When God gave him orders, he was not to deviate to the right hand or to the left hand. He wasn't to take shortcuts. He was to do exactly what he had been told, and he was to pass that on to the people in command. Now, as a child of God, you and I need to ask the question, who's in charge? Because sometimes I think I am. Amen? Anybody with me on that? But I would submit to you that this is still true today. As believers, we must receive our marching orders from God. Everything we do should be because the Lord has called us to do it. Now, that might go against popular opinion of the world. That might cause some disruption in your family. Might do that. Following God might cause you to lose a promotion at work. That can happen. But as long as we are following what the Lord leads, that's okay. Because God will take care of you. Not man. God will. And so that leads me to a question. Who are you receiving marching orders from? Are you getting bad intel from the enemy? Has he sown thoughts into your mind of defeat and despair? Have you bought into the lies about your battle? Lies like, my marriage will never be more than what it is right now. You will never have victory over depression and anxiety. You are a spiritual failure, and you will never have victory over your addiction. Who's in charge? Who's in charge? Why do we give credence to the enemy? Why do we buy into his lies? Joshua determined at the very start, I'm going to allow God to be in charge of what I do. And because of that, you will find when you trace Joshua's history, he was blessed. He was blessed. Notice secondly, what's God's agenda? That's a good question. Like we know God's in charge, then obviously the next question is, well, what's his agenda? What is he trying to do? Well, look at verse 2 of Joshua chapter 1. Notice he kind of lays it out. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto a land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. Very simple. God wanted Joshua to arise and lead this group of people over the Jordan and cross over that Jordan River into the promised land. Now, you got to have a picture of what's been going on up to this point. The Israelites have been wandering in the wilderness for how many years? 40, right? They have been wandering. They have been so close to the promised land, but they could never get in. You ever have one of those dreams where you can, you know, like you can't get to where you're trying to get to? It's scary, isn't it? Like if I can just get there and you're running, you can't run, and you're like stuck in molasses or something. Well, the Israelites could never get in there. Why? Well, because of two things. Moses' sin. Moses sinned. Remember that? He was supposed to speak to the rock, and I probably would have done what Moses did. Haven't you ever been so fed up with somebody that you just overreacted? Yeah, we've all been there. Well, Moses overreacted. He was supposed to speak to the rock, and instead, man, he just whacked that rock. You know, if we could rewind the tape, wouldn't you love just to see how that day went down? You know, he whacks the rock. He can't go into the promised land. And then the Israelites, they can't go in because of their unbelief. They didn't believe God. Moses was supposed to take them into the promised land, but he couldn't. The promised land, that's where all the full blessings of God awaited his children. It was a land that was rich agriculturally. They would be able to grow like things like never before. They would be the breadbasket of the world. It was a land where the different tribes of Israel would be divided, and they would be able to thrive and grow and prosper. It was a land where God would dwell with his people, his people would dwell with them and walk in his blessings. And by the way, that land still belongs to the Jewish people. And God will honor the Abrahamic covenant that he made with them to give them the land. That will happen. So I want you to get the picture. You know, when we look at this here in verse 2, it says here, arise and go over and all this people. Well, how much is all this people? Well, there's about 2.5 million people at this point. How long does it take to get 2.5 million people? And by the way, that 2.5 million people, God fed every day in the wilderness. Provided quail, he provided manna. I mean, it's just unbelievable. That's every day. Every day. Their clothes didn't wear out. Their sandals didn't wear out. I mean, just God just took care of them even in their wandering. And now Joshua's got to get this 2.5 million people across the river into this promised land. They've been in the wilderness, they've been wandering, and God tells Joshua to prepare them to cross over into the promised land. God's agenda was very, very simple. Joshua, get the children of Israel into a position to receive my blessings. I am about to shower on them my richest blessings as they cross into this land. There was no checklist for them to work out to receive God's blessing. They were to cross this river in faith and see the provision of God. Remember, their forefathers, their dads, and their granddads, some of them, crossed the Red Sea. They saw the Red Sea. All they had was the story that was handed down to them. They are now not at a Red Sea. They're at a flooded Jordan River. Can God do the same thing here that he did back there? Right? Yeah, that's what's going through their minds. So God stops this river and brings these people through. And the Bible says the river was like a wall to them on their right hand and their left hand. God just kind of, I wonder what that looked like. So here's my question for you. Are you working on a checklist to try and prepare yourself to receive God's blessings? Because if you do, that becomes performance-based and extremely exhausting. Or are you positioning yourself to receive God's blessing in your life? Are you prepared for how God is going to bless you for being obedient and walking in His word, walking in His way? Let's determine today that we'll just be prepared to receive God's blessing. Notice thirdly this morning, another question. Well, then what's His promise? So we understand who's in charge. We understand His agenda, but what's His promise? We'll look at Joshua chapter 1 and notice verses 3 to 6. Here's His promise. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even to the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites, under the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not be any man able to stand upon thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, shall I be with you. I will not fail you. I will not forsake you. This was a reference back to the Abrahamic covenant, a covenant that God made with Abraham, and part of that covenant was the land of Canaan, or the promised land. It was part of that covenant. It was the land that God promised to Israel. And did you notice the borders? Did you see those borders there? You can go back and look in Numbers. You can see those borders described very, very specifically. And the borders that God describes in this passage are much, much larger than what Israel occupies today. Today, they occupy a land that's as big as the state of New Jersey. But when you look at a biblical map of those biblical boundaries, it goes down into Egypt, it goes over into Iraq, it goes up over through Syria, it goes all the way up into Turkey. It is a massive, massive chunk of land that God said belongs to them. Belongs to them. And Israel has every right to defend her land. Why? It was given to them by God. It was given to them by God. Now there would be many battles that Joshua would lead and that people through. The land needed to be cleared. But Joshua would go based upon that promise of God in verse 5 and 6. God did not say that there would not be battles. God did not say that there would not be struggles and hardship. God did say to Joshua, no matter where you go or who you face, be strong and courageous, for I am with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. That's what God said. So here's the question. What ground have you allowed the enemy to take possession of in your life? What land is the enemy still occupying? Because he's got some. He's got some land that belongs to God in your life. You know the enemy is there. You're afraid of him. You know that you try and make every effort to pretend that you can control the situation, but in reality, the situation just controls you. Have you given in to the voice of the enemy? Does he have you ducking for cover? Have you bought into the lie that you've failed so much that gaining victory in this area, that there is no more hope? That's a lie from Satan. Can I remind you this morning that you are a child of God? If you know Christ as your Savior, you are a child of God. You have the mightiest weapons that any soldier can have. You have to your full avail the full armor of God. You have promises of God, promises like no weapon formed against you will what? Prosper, right? Don't forget that. You are more than a conqueror through Christ who loved you. You have the promise that he will never leave you nor forsake you. You have the promise in James that if you draw nigh to God and resist the devil, that he will flee from you. You are not subject to the enemy, but the enemy is subject to Christ in you, the hope of glory. He's subject to him. Demons bow in his presence. Chains are broken in his presence. The enemy has been defeated. Just arise and walk in the promises of God. Claim your identity. And when you and I get this, it's just life-changing, isn't it? It's life-changing. Notice my last point this morning. Let's just kind of bring this thing to a close. What's your choice? What's your choice? So we know that God's in charge. We understand his agenda. We want his promises. But guess what? That leaves a choice to you and to me today. Look again at Joshua chapter 1. Notice verses 7 to 9. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper wherever thou go. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written. For then, that's a good word to underline, then shalt thou make thy way prosperous. And then, there's another good word, thou shalt have good success. Now, I'll be honest with you. If you read your Bible, and you will find that there are many, many promises of God. Many, many promises. Some are unconditional promises. Some are unconditional. Some are conditional. Some pertain to the nation of Israel. Some pertain to the church. And there's different promises and all different kinds of things. You have to take them in their context, right? And in verse 5, you have an unconditional promise from God. Look at it and notice what it says there. Verse 5, what is the unconditional promise that you find in verse 5? Okay, I heard someone say it. I will be with thee. I will not fail thee. I will not forsake thee. There's no condition attached to that. Joshua, this is who I am. This is what I will do. I will be with you. I will never forsake you. I will not turn away from you. Right? I'll not fail you. Okay? And in verse 7 and 8, you have a conditional promise. Okay? Notice verse 7 and 8. Notice verse 7 and 8. It says right there, this book of the law shall not depart out of the mouth. Well, verse 8. Or out of thy mouth shall meditate therein day, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For, there's the condition, then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Basically, what God is saying to Joshua is this: obey my law, don't deviate from it, don't take shortcuts, follow it wholly. And when you do that, Joshua, here's the promise, there's the condition, follow my word, follow my law, here's the condition, that's it, here's the promise. When you do that, you will prosper and succeed in whatever you do. You see, there was one final key that God imparted to Joshua as the leader, and it's this word, and we don't like it. Obedience. Obedience. God told Joshua to Follow the Word of God. Don't deviate from it. Don't improvise on it. Follow exactly what it says. And when you follow it, the result is a blessing. Folks, it's very, very simple. And I need to be reminded of this just as much as I am reminding you today. If you want the blessing of God in your life, the key is obedience. And I found in many cases when people's backs are up against the wall and life comes crashing down, I remember as a pastor, I dealt with this. As a missionary, I've dealt with this. And my family, I've dealt with this. And just all over, right? And sometimes when people's lives come crashing down, and when I take them to the Word of God, and I sit down and we find out, all right, where did you get off track? Where did you deviate from what God said? Right? And so then I say, okay, so this is what God said, and this is what you need to do. And Ken, you've probably had this, and I know Zach, you've had this, and maybe others that have been in the ministry have had this. I've had people sit down and say to me, well, man, I can't do that. I can't do that. I've had people say, I don't even want to do that. I don't want to do that. Or I've had people say, is there an easier way? Is there just an easier way? You know what it comes down to? The true issue is just obedience. Why has the blessing of God lifted off so many? Lack of obedience. Not following God's word. Doing things our way instead of God's way. And Joshua was all about right choices. Joshua was very interested in obedience. He wanted to obey at the beginning of his reign, and he wanted to obey God at the end of his reign. It was very, very important for Joshua to start well and to finish well. And I've said this before. I've said it here probably. You know, it doesn't matter how you start, but what does matter is how you finish. But I will tell you this. You will find very few people in God's Word who started well and finished well. You will find people that started horribly and finished incredibly. You will find people like Solomon who started incredible but finished horribly. But Joshua, man, he started right and he finished right. That's a blessing. It was very important. So how did he finish? How did he finish? Well, go to Joshua chapter 24. Let's go to the end of his story. How did he finish? Go to the end of his story, Joshua chapter 24. And notice Verse 14 and 15. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood. What's he mean by that? On the other side of the flood. What does he mean by that? Is he talking about the Red Sea or is he talking about the river, you think? Because what was flooded? The river, right? Remember, the river was flooded. And what happened when they left Egypt and wandered in the wilderness? Was there some false god worship? Remember that whole incident with the golden calf? And Aaron's like, man, you were gone, Moses. You were gone. We didn't know what happened to you. And, you know, they came to me and, they, you know, we just threw the gold into the fire. Wow, out popped this calf. Like Moses, you know, I could almost imagine Moses saying to his brother, like, Aaron, do you think I was just born yesterday? Like, that was probably a punch your brother moment, right? A punch your brother moment. And so they worship these false gods. And Joshua is saying here, on the other side of that river, before you crossed into this promised land, you serve those gods. Now notice what he says there in verse 15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers which served were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. Because guess what? There was false gods where they entered. And people were attracted to false gods. That's what happened. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You know, Joshua lived to be 110 years old. 110. Anybody here 110? Now, I know there's someone, there was someone here that was over 100, though, wasn't there? Somebody, or maybe we knew somebody here that was over. Yeah, 2 years ago. 100 years old. 103! 103! Like, Joshua was just like, okay, three. That's 7 years. I have to use my fingers, right? 7 years older. Joshua. 110. But his life ended with the full blessing of God on it. Joshua made the right choice. But guess what? Joshua is going to die. Go over to the book of Judges. It's the next book over. I want you to see what happens. And the first part of Judges is kind of a retelling of the history there. And I want you to notice chapter 2. And notice verse 8. Judges chapter 2, verse 8. It kind of rehashes the end of Joshua, the last chapter. And Judges chapter 2 picks up in verse 8. Notice, and Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres, in the mount of Ephraim, on the north side of the hill of Gash. Notice verse 10. And also, all that generation, all of Joshua's generation, died. They were gathered unto their fathers. Here it is. And there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor the works which he had done for Israel. Verse 11, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and went back to false gods. Do you know what happened? It just takes one generation. One generation. Grandparents, listen to me. Great-grandparents, listen to me. The greatest thing that you can pass on to your grandkids and to your great-grandkids is the faithfulness of God in your lives. That'll be better than any heirloom that you give them. It'll be better than the dresser with that mirror on it that they will hold in their house. Document them down, the blessings of God in your life. And when that day comes, if God gives you the privilege to give your last words to your grandchildren, to your great-grandchildren, and even to your children, you can pass that to them and say, do you want to know why I lived the way I did? It's because of the faithfulness of God in my life. Here it is, written down. Wow. What a testimony. How about your life? How about your life? Can I encourage you today to be strong and courageous? Who's in charge of your life? Who sits on the throne of your heart? What's his agenda? Are you prepared to receive his blessings? Does the enemy still occupy territory in your life that belongs to God? What's his promise to you as you allow him to reclaim lost ground? And finally, what choice will you make for you and your house? Stand with me for prayer. Can I just say this to you as you're standing today? Be strong and courageous. That is the word of God for you and for me today. And if you're here today, and everyone looking here at me for just a moment, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you want to start by having the blessing of God on your life, then you start at the cross. That's where you start. You can't have all the other blessings until we start right at the cross, acknowledging, yes, God, I am a sinner and I need a Savior. I don't know what to do with my stuff. I don't know. I can't get rid of it. I'm tired of carrying it. I just need the forgiveness of God in my life, and I give you that. It's a mess, but God, what can you do with it? And God makes you his child, and you become a child of God, and the blessing of of God, which is the very first one, is the forgiveness of your sin, and the cleansing and washing of the water by the Word of God makes you free and clean to begin to start to serve God. And when you do that, the blessings of God on your obedience will follow. Let's pray. Father, wow, this morning, Lord, we just want to be obedient. Oh, yeah, we want the blessing, but there's a condition to the blessing, and that's obedience. And so, God, I pray today, help us as your children to be obedient and walk in your blessings. God, if there's one here today that does not know you as Savior, Lord, I don't know every single person's heart that's here, but if there's one here, you know the hearts. And so, God, I pray that you would use today's message to draw them to yourself. God, may they see their need of Jesus as their Savior. He is the only hope we have in this world. And so, God, draw them to yourself. May they talk to Pastor Zach or one of the elders or deacons or even myself, Lord, here after the service and say, I need to know. I got to get this nailed down. I want to know I'm forgiven. I want to know that I'm a child of God. Oh, God, we'd be so honored to do that. And Lord, for us who know you as Savior, forgive us when we disobey. God, we try, I'm guilty. God, I try and do things, handle things in my own strength, in my own way, trying to bring about the result that I think I need. And so, God, I just confess that to you today and ask you, Lord, help me be obedient. It's always better to obey than sacrifice. Thank you for this church. Thank you for your love. Have your way now. In Jesus' name, amen.